I've been noticing lately, things just don't seem to be the same anymore, or at least as I remember them to be. Oh, I'm not talking about the economy, the stock market, or Red Sox. I'm not talking about politics or anything like that. I'm actually talking about my body. I've noticed that my legs aren't as strong. My eyes don't see as well as they once did. Ears aren't hearing like they could, although sometimes I'm not sure that's a really bad thing. My back aches too often, and I can't seem to lift too much. Stairs seem steep, car seems further away. Sleep doesn't come too fast, and morning comes very fast. Then there are the wrinkles. But then there's also this brain thing. That doesn't seem to work as well as it once did, or as well as I like to think it once did. Yeah, I think this is what getting older is all about. And they say that the best is yet to come. I find myself slowing down. I try not to complain too much, or even worse, live in fear about what might come in the days ahead. Because I realize in part that, well, not everyone gets to grow old. How many people do each of us know who never made it far enough in their years to feel what many of us feel in our bodies? Maybe we think that they're the lucky ones, that they got out before the troubles of old age arrive, with these aches and pains and losses and all too frequent moments of confusion. But maybe the real deal is not to be jealous, but it's to learn from nature about the grace and the gift that aging can bring. In that way, we may not find ourselves complaining so much and worrying about what the future might have in mind. I wonder, for instance, does a male deer ever worry about losing its antlers? Does a crab get scared when its shell falls off as it grows too small for its body? How about a snake that loses its skin? Each of them keeps right on growing. They naturally drop what's familiar and comfortable, and they step boldly into the future. Each of them steps into the unknown. Each of them agreeing to be vulnerable as nature reveals to them that the best is yet to come. Each of them trusts that the God that created them is the God that will sustain them. This will not be a surprise, but New Hampshire certainly is one of the most glorious states in the country. I would argue, having lived several places outside of here and a few places around the world, that it is among the most beautiful places in the world. Millions of people come here each year to saute in these gifts of nature. And one of the most popular times of the year is fall foliage. You know the leaf peepers, the buses, the cars, those license plates from out of town. 3 million, more than 3 million people show up each year to come and see the colors of the birches and the maples, the oaks, the beeches, and all their other brothers and sisters that occupy the forest. They have come to celebrate the fall. I remind you that these are the trees that were once naked. They looked as if perhaps they were dead. And yet they gave birth to new life in the spring with their tender green expressions of hope. As the summer came and wandered on, they deepened their color, lapped up the nourishment of the soil and the rains so that they could continue their journey to the majesty of the fall, where they could most loudly proclaim the miracle of God's imagination. And then
life changes. The bodies change shape. The breezes of life that were once gentle and welcome become
so much more robust and bring with it the withering coldness. Life becomes very different. In those breezes and those winds, they shake over what is to come. Each new breeze feels stronger and weakens their hold on what once was. Life, as they know it, filters away. And then, one day, they are gone. The life of the leaf shows us how life will always complete itself, and there are no exceptions. As we age, we find that our colors are changing from a fresh, light green to vibrant golds and burgundies. And yet we worry about the future ahead. We might look around to see that others don't have it quite as bad as we do, or at least they don't seem to have it
quite so bad. And perhaps this is where today's gospel reading from Luke can be helpful to us. The self-righteous Pharisee who does everything perfectly thanks God that he is not like the others. His life is superior. He thinks because of that he is more valuable. Yet not far away is the tax collector, alone, the scourge of the village, as he pounds his chest, begging God to be merciful, for he knows that he is a sinner. And yet he too is not like the others, he thinks. So he compares himself. He finds fault, and he shades his own colors. And that makes me wonder, the white pine, the blue spruces of our backyards and perched beautifully in the mountains, compare themselves to the birches, the maples, and the oaks? Do they compare themselves and slump in despair that they are not as bright and as colorful and loved as their neighbors? Do the trees of God's making compare themselves and worry about what others may say about them or what they do? Do they find their inner strength within, accepting their destinies with poise and grace, and recognizing that those, as Luke says, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who are humble will be exalted. Celebrate the fall, my friends. And what about those aches and pains and those worries? What will it be like to die? Will I have enough money to live on between now and then? How will my family love me? Will I become increasingly invisible in this world? Will I have any friends left? Will it even matter if I've lived at all? These are not unfamiliar thoughts to some of us as our footsteps, no matter how slow and how painful they may be, lead us toward the shedding of our leaves. And here our Hebrew Bible scripture can help us. The good prophet Isaiah reminds us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, that God's ways are not our ways. Our worries are painful reminders of this truth, and how far away that we feel from God too often, how the winds of our culture have blown us so far off course that sometimes we feel no closeness to God, for we recognize that in the years gone by that we've conceded our power to what's popular. We worry, God does not. Yet aging
is the doorway back. It is
the way back to God. We stand at this opening with a chance to review our lives and to make amends to those we have offended, or give forgiveness to those by whom we were offended. This is the time to reconnect to our true nature. We can write letters to people we miss, make phone calls to people that we've put off, to let love guide us so that we can return to the wholeness that we require. We can drop the idea that there are endless tomorrows awaiting us. We can make a point to look for those God moments in everyone we see, in every place that we travel,
pulling us back to that place that is our home in the loving arms of God. This is the time to come closer to God, to realize that this is the time of life, this shaking of our leaves that brings us the opportunity to actually shine our brightest, to give our most vibrant colors. If not in our physical strength, we can certainly do this in our spiritual strength. Aging, my friends, is not something to be fixed. It is the time to heal. It is the time to claim the inner beauty that has always been there. It is the time to read more. It is the time to pray more, to live more, to be more, but to do less. Celebrate the fall by making your thoughts God's thoughts, in your ways, God's ways. This incredible time in our lives offers us so much that only those with the privilege and the discipline to reflect can grasp. Aging, despite the obvious, is a gift. When we open it, we are reminded that God knows of our struggles, knows how many hairs there are in our heads, and even if there are none, and accept that over the centuries that many, many, many have walked this same path. Here's a 3,000-year-old nugget from Isaiah. I will still be carrying you when you are old, says the Lord. Your hair will turn gray, and I will still carry you. I made you, and I will carry you safely. And this, 1,000 years later, from the Apostle Paul in his second letter to his friends in Corinth. Do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what cannot be seen is temporary. For what cannot be seen is eternal. What can be seen is temporary. So my friends, as the leaves continue their fall, completing their circle of life, and we feel our own leaves withering and losing their physical grip, let's tighten our spiritual grip and draw even closer to God. Compare yourself to no one, particularly celebrities who aren't always good role models. Remember that God made you. You are God's glory. You are God's foliage, one of a kind, that God loves you now as God has loved you always. So make God's thoughts your thoughts and make God's ways your ways. Fearing not the journey ahead, but being steadfast and knowing that God has you in the palm of God's hand. And hear this in this concluding prayer of the Jesuit priest, Teilhard de Chardin. When the signs of age begin to mark my body, and still more when they touch my mind, when the ill that is to diminish me or carry me off strikes from without, or is born within me. When a painful moment comes in, which I suddenly awaken to the fact that I am ill or growing old. And above all, at that last moment, when I feel like I'm losing hold of myself and I'm absolutely passive in the hands of the great unknown forces that have formed me, in all those dark moments, God grants. Yes, God, grant that I may understand that it is you. That it is you, God, who are painfully parting the fibers of my being in order to penetrate to the very marrow of my substance and bear away with me in yourself. Celebrate the fall, my friends. Amen.